would like to read four passages from the scriptures. The first in the Epistle to the Romans in chapter 10. And the Bible I'm reading from, it's on page 1361. Romans 10 and verse 13. For everyone whosoever who shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without one who preaches? And how shall they preach unless they have been sent? According as it is written, how beautiful the feet of them that announce glad tidings of peace, of them that announce glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the glad tidings. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith then is by a report, but the report by God's word. But I say, have they not heard? Yea, surely, their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the extremities of the habitable world. But I say, has not Israel known? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy, through them that are not a nation. Through a nation without understanding I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I have been found by those not seeking me. I have become manifest to those not inquiring after me. But unto Israel he says, all the day long I have stretched out my hands unto a people disobeying and opposing. And then in Mark's Gospel in chapter 10 and verse 46, and that's on page 1207. Mark 10 and verse 46. And they come to Jericho. And as he, that is Jesus, was going out from Jericho, and his disciples and a large crowd, the son of Bartimaeus, the blind man, sat by the wayside begging. And having heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and to say, O son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him that he might be silent. But he cried so much the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, standing still, desired him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good courage, rise up, he calls thee. And throwing away his garment, he started up and came to Jesus. And Jesus answering says to him, What wilt thou that I shall do to thee? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Go, thy faith has healed thee. And he saw immediately and followed him in the way. The book of Job and chapter 42, and that's on page 687. Start on the first verse. First verse of chapter 42. And Job answered Jehovah and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that thou canst be hindered in no thought of thine. Who is he that obscureth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and inform me. I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. And at the end of verse 9, and Jehovah accepted Job. And beginning of verse 12, and Jehovah blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. And verse 16, and Job lived after this 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons four generations, and Job died old and full of days. And finally, from the first book of Kings in chapter 10, that's on page 455, and verse 1. And the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon in connection with the name of Jehovah, and came to prove him with enigmas. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bore spices and gold in very great abundance, and precious stones. And she came to Solomon and spoke to him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon explained to her all she spoke of. There was not a thing hidden from the king that he did not explain to her. And when the Queen of Sheba saw all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the food of his table, and the deportment of his servants, and the order of service of his attendants and their apparel, and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up to the house of Jehovah. There was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thine affairs and of thy wisdom. But I gave no credit to the words until I came and mine eyes had seen. And behold, the half was not told me. In wisdom thou and prosperity thou exceedest the report that I heard. Happy are these thy men, happy are these thy servants who stand continually before thee, who hear thy wisdom. Blessed be Jehovah thy God, who delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because Jehovah loves Israel forever. Therefore did he make thee king to do judgment and justice. I was struck by that expression that we read in Job. I had heard of thee by the ear, hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And you will probably notice that all these scriptures speak of hearing, and most of them speak about seeing. Now, most of you, if not all, have probably heard the gospel before, heard the preaching. In my life, I must have heard the gospel thousands of times. But I wonder whether you've actually seen the greatness and glory of the one of who I want to speak of tonight, the Lord Jesus, the Saviour. How important it is that the gospel goes out. We read in that first passage in Romans, it says there, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without one who preaches? So it shows the importance of the continual preaching of the gospel. Even in the days in which we are, where you say, well, there might not be a lot of interest, it is important that the word of God goes out, the gospel preaching proceeds. And says how beautiful the feet of them that preach glad tidings. What a privilege it is to be able to stand here tonight and preach the glad tidings concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. Because that's who the gospel is about. It's not about myself. I've not come here to tell you my testimony or give you some account of my life. I've come here to tell you of Jesus, the Saviour, the one whom God has appointed, and the one who is the only Saviour. And it says at the beginning of where it, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I wonder if everyone here has called on the name of the Lord. Do you know Jesus personally? You may have heard about him. And the other scriptures we read speak of those that had heard. The man in Mark 10, he'd heard about Jesus. He'd heard of Jesus. He heard that Jesus the Nazarene was passing by. But he had a great need. And dear friend, you have a great need too. And we stand here to tell you tonight that before a holy and righteous God, that you are a sinner and you need to have forgiveness for your sins. Because the great matter is that everyone that sins, the penalty of death is upon them. But then the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that each one of us stands under that terrible judgment of death. We all know, don't we, that at the end of our life here, whenever that may be, doesn't necessarily mean be old age. Death can strike at any time. We all know that we face the great article of death. And Jesus has been sent, came to this earth to be a saviour from our sins and to grant us the great promise of eternal life. And this can be found in Jesus tonight as much as it could be found when he was here. That if you come to Christ tonight and put your faith and trust in him, he will give you life. He will give you peace and joy and forgiveness, the things of which we sung of in our hymn. Peace, joy, sonship, the Holy Spirit given. What great things God offers to men today, to people today, through the preaching of the glad tidings. It is a day of grace, a day when God's glad tidings can be preached. We know that God is going to have to judge this world of all its evil and wickedness, but God isn't looking tonight upon us here as a judge. He's appealing to us as a saviour. Because he has a man to present to us. And that's who we speak of. We preach of the great Saviour of Jesus. And you say, well, how can he be a Saviour? He's a man who lived here 2,000 years ago. But I come here to tell you tonight of the great work that he did, that he accomplished on Calvary's cross. And tell you that he is the one who's been raised from the dead. and he has ascended, and he is in heaven tonight, and by faith we can see where he is. You might not be able to see Jesus literally, but we should be able to, if we come in repentance to Jesus, see him by faith and see the glory that he has and see the position that he fills. So the great matter of our sins had to be met. It could only be met by one man. You know, there was no other saviour. It says, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Peter says, there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. It is the only one who is a saviour. Jesus is the only one who can save you from your sins, because he is the one who has died and paid the price. He paid the price on that cross at Calvary. God realised the great need that he was on his creature. When man disobeyed him in the Garden of Eden, when he went astray, when he disobeyed him, he said, the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. The devil deceived Eve by his craft and said, you shall not surely die, you shall become as God himself. And so Eve fell under that. She took of the apple and ate and gave to her husband Adam. And they both realized their condition before God as naked. And that was the great eye-opener. They came under the matter of death. But God has come in. He has come in to rescue mankind, and he has done it through the giving of his only son. For God so loved the world. He loved the world. That's all the creatures in the world. He loves men. He is the creator. It's God who's given you life, my friend. He loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. Whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. Have you called upon the Lord Jesus as your saviour? Do you realise that you need a saviour? Do you realise that you're a sinner? There are people today who don't realise that they're sinners. They don't know what sin is. Sin is lawlessness. It's doing what we want to do, and it's against God and his standards. The first sin, as we noticed, was disobedience. And we were reminded the other week that it's soon followed by murder. And all these sinful things are in our hearts by nature. God has met them through the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. Think of what it must have meant for God to give his only son. And the only man in whom God had found delight. He found full delight in Jesus as he walked here. When Jesus was baptized at the River Jordan, as he came out of the river, this is my beloved son in whom I have found my delight. Jesus, the only person who never sinned. He was perfect in his pathway. He pleased God his Father, but he was the one who God delivered up to be the sacrifice for sin. Think of what it meant that great matter of sin had to be met and had to be judged, and was judged by Jesus when he went to that cross. Think of the hatred of man. We were speaking of it, some of us today, about the way that they say, away with him, we will not have this man to reign over us. Yes, the full hatred of man's natural heart came out at the cross at Calvary, where we see man's hatred displayed. We see God's love expressed in the fact that Jesus gave himself, and he could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Man did not realize what they were doing. When they crucified Jesus, when they delivered him up to death, they had no idea of what they were doing. He said, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And yet, this blessed person, he was crucified on that cross between two robbers, one on the right hand and one on the left. And both of those men cursed Jesus when they were hanging there, until light shone into that man's soul that was by him, and said, remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom. Oh, I pray today that light may shine into your heart, into your soul. You may really realize that what you are before God, that you need a saviour, and that you will call upon the name of Jesus. So we preach the glad tidings that it might be heard, and that there might be a response to it. Think of God sending out his message today, sending out through preachers to call them to Jesus. So Jesus went onto that cross. He suffered at the hand of men, and he suffered at the hands of God, where in 3 hours of darkness, God poured out the judgment of sin upon the head of my Saviour. Nobody can enter into what it meant for Jesus to suffer on that cross in the darkness. All we know from what was the Lord went through is his cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I would urge my hearers tonight to contemplate the depths to which Jesus went to secure your soul. How valuable your life and your soul is to God. There are people today who feel unwanted. They think that nobody cares. But we can tell you tonight that God cares. He cares so much that he gave his son for you. And he gave the greatest gift that ever could be given, the person of the Lord Jesus. So there's no excuse for us to say that nobody loves me. because God's love is shining out tonight in the gospel. He bathes the world with his love. And what a thing it is that God is commending his son. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. What a savior he is. So he went into death. He gave up his life. They didn't take it from him. Those soldiers came to break his legs, but having found them already dead, they pierced his side and outflowed blood and water. How thankful we are for the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. The basis of the gospel is God has been righteous in what he's done. He's not swept it under the carpet. People in the world were around us, there's something comes up, they'd like to just, well, we're compromised and we just forget all about it. But God hasn't forgotten all about it. God has dealt with it and he's removed the matter of sin from his presence. That's why we can be righteously saved. We can righteously come to know a holy and righteous God, and we come into a relationship and communion with him because God has dealt with the matter through his son. So you say, well, how do we know that God was pleased and satisfied with what Jesus has done? It's because he's raised him amongst the dead. He lay in the grave for 3 days and three nights, and he was raised by the glory of the Father. And then after 40 days on this earth, he ascended up into heaven, where he sits today at God's right hand. You say, how do you know that? I know it by faith. I have this in my heart. I know the knowledge. I've heard it, and I believe it. I've seen it by faith. And tonight, may your eyes be opened, dear hearer, to see by faith where Jesus lives in glory now, ascended. So that's the great message of the glad tidings. It's the work of what Jesus has done. And these ones I've spoken of in Scripture today, just an example of those who came to Jesus. So we have this man in Mark 10, a blind beggar. What a life he'd had, sat by the wayside begging. But you know, he'd heard something. Someone must have told him something about Jesus. Jesus the Nazarene. He was passing by. He's on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus was at this point. He came to Jericho, the city that was a curse. Think of that, and yet Jesus went there. You might say this world is cursed by sin, but Jesus has been here too. He's been here and finished the work. But he was going to Jericho, and because there was another man in Jericho who wanted to see Jesus. That was Zacchaeus, wasn't it? And he climbed up a tree because he wanted to see Jesus. Well, do you want to see Jesus in all his glory and greatness? Well, this man knew something of Jesus, and Jesus was passing by. This may be your last opportunity in your life to hear the glad tidings. You know, we can't be too serious in the gospel. We might have had many opportunities. Nobody knows what a day might bring forth. But here was an opportunity for this man. Jesus was passing by, and he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It says it was Jesus the Nazarene. The Nazarene was the name of reproach. But he knew of Jesus the Nazarene, but he called him the Son of David, the one in whom the promises have been fulfilled. Have mercy on me. And so all of those around him, they said, be quiet. Don't trouble. He doesn't want to hear you. But he cried out so much the more. Have mercy on me. Have you ever felt that about your sins? Have you ever realized how much you need a savior? Have you ever asked him for forgiveness? He says, have mercy on me. The two men that went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee told God all about himself, how good he was. And the other man, he said, have mercy on me, the sinner. That's all you have to cry in the gospel, you know. That's all God wants to hear from you. Have mercy on me, the sinner. So Jesus heard this cry. And I can tell you, my friend, that if you cry out to Jesus, he'll hear your cry. However feeble, however faible it might be, he will hear you. And so Jesus standing still. You know, we've often thought about this, haven't we? Think of who he was, the Lord of glory, the creator of the world. He said, by whom the worlds were made. He stood still at the cry of a beggar. And Jesus will stand still and wait for you tonight if you cry out to him in faith. It says, so then suddenly those around him changed their tone, didn't they? Oh, be of good courage, he calls thee. And so this man gets up and he came to Jesus, throwing away his garment. Nothing was holding him back. Is there anything holding you back from committing your life to Christ? Anything holding you back from wanting to be here as a Christian to serve the Lord Jesus? He threw away his garments. Nothing hindered him. He came to Jesus. Jesus said, what wilt thou that I should do to thee? What a question. What is your greatest need? If Jesus was to ask you tonight, what would you want me to do for you? And there was one obvious matter with this man. Lord, that I may see. And I would put this upon the hearts of us all here, that we may see. See Jesus for who he is. See things clearly. See the condition of our hearts before a holy and righteous God, that we may see what we are and that we need a Saviour. And so Jesus, that I may see Jesus, said, go, thy faith has healed thee. Yes, that's what God wants you to do tonight, to exercise the faith that he would give you, to put your faith and trust in Jesus. He's not asking for your money. He's not asking for a life of charity. Preacher reminded us last week about what Luther tried to do to gain forgiveness. He went up the steps of that chapel, that cathedral, didn't he, on his knees, confessing his sins each one. He got to the top and he still wasn't saved. He wants you to just ask for faith and trust in Jesus. He wants you to repent of your sins and to put your faith and trust in him. And so it says, thy faith has healed thee. Yeah, God will give you that gift. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. He saw immediately and followed him in the way. That's what God wants tonight. He wants followers of Jesus. He wants us to follow him, to be a testimony in this world to him. Where was Jesus going? I said he was going to Jerusalem. He was going to Jerusalem where he was going to suffer, where he was going to be rejected and hated and put on that cross. This man, I suppose, he followed him all the way there. I wonder what must have gone through his heart. I know we have no idea because he doesn't tell us, but think of what must have gone through his heart as he had seen that man who'd given him his sight suffer on that cross. Well, that's what God is calling us tonight, to come and follow Jesus. That's all I read of Job, because this is the scripture that really impressed itself upon me for the preaching tonight. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Job is a very interesting book. It's a long book, and there's much in it. And Job had a knowledge of God. He knew lots about God. If you read it, you'll find out that he knew about certain features of him as the Creator God. But you know, he hadn't seen the greatness of who he was, and he hadn't realized that he had to repent. I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now that's what God is wanting from us. It's repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not asking much of us, is he? He's just wanting us to come to judgment of what we are before him. Feel our need of him. Feel that what we are, how small we are in one sense. How great God is, how small we are, and yet how interested he is, even though we are just small and insignificant creatures. Of course, we're not insignificant to God. Might be insignificant in this world, but God has an interest in us as individuals. He's created us. He has an interest in you. He wants your heart. May you hear tonight, not only have you heard, may you see something of the glory and greatness of this God who wants to bless you. And so, if we read of the affliction of Job, think of how, well, I won't go into all the history of it, but God allowed him to be tested in all these ways. And then he had these friends who weren't much friends, really. They were telling him how bad he was, how what he must have done wrong. You know, when things go wrong in people's life, they say, well, you must have been bad, all these things to happen to you. That's what it's saying to Job. And yet Job was an upright man. He prayed for his family. He was concerned, but God allowed him to pass through this way. But what God was working out in his soul was amazing. We've come to the end of it. But you see, you might be going through trying circumstances in your life. You might be facing serious matters and not seeing the end of it. Maybe God is working out something in your life for his glory and praise. And this is what happened with Job. And he came to this point. He repented, and he appalled and repented in dust and ashes. And then it says that he spoke to Jehovah. God has spoken to him. He spoke to Jehovah. Have you ever spoken to God? Have you ever had a conversation with him? You know, that's what communion means. It's having conversation, isn't it? And God wants to commune with you, my friend. And so it says about Job, I just read what it says there, that Jehovah accepted Job. You know, if you confess your sins and if you ask for forgiveness, God will accept you. He can do that on the basis of the work of Jesus. And he wants to bless you because he loves you. And then it says that he blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. And then that Job died old and full of days. Well, we don't preach the prosperity gospel. We don't say that if you're going to become a Christian, you're going to become wealthy. Not materially wealthy, but you will become spiritually wealthy. If you give your heart to Jesus, he wants to give you the fullest and richest of blessings. It tells us that Eye hath not seen nor heard the things that God has in mind for those that love him. God has wonderful, full blessings for you, spiritual blessings, not material things. The material things that we have, they'll soon fade away, they'll pass away. But what we have in our souls, our knowledge of God spiritually, will remain with us forever. As I say, God wants to bless you eternally. Soon Jesus is coming again, you know. He's coming to claim his kingdom. I wonder what that has laid hold of our hearts, how near we are to the end of this dispensation of God's grace. How he has waited patiently for men. How he is waiting patiently for each of us. He'll wait on you tonight to turn to him. It says in one of our hymns, some guest may be the last, yet there is room. There's room for you in God's house if only you'll turn to him and ask for his forgiveness. Job died old and full of days. I think that's the important thing, full of days. His days were of worth, you know. Some of us think about the days and years that we've wasted, the years of the locust, so much time we've wasted. Well, God wants us to have full days in his service and in walking with him. Speak to those in the Old Testament, doesn't they? Walk with God. What a thing that is to walk with God every day of our lives. In prayer and communion with him. These things are open to us as we come to trust the Saviour. So I finally read in Kings, because this is someone else who'd heard all about Solomon. And if we think of Solomon as a picture, as a type of Christ, as the king in all his glory. As I said, Jesus is coming back, you know. He's coming to take us to be with himself, but he's coming here to claim his kingdom. You only have to read the scripture to understand of the day to come of which Jesus is going to claim his kingdom. He went out of this world by way of the cross, but he's coming on the clouds with great power and glory, and every eye will see him. What a hope we have. What a hope he has. And think of all the problems we have in the world at the present time. The governments are all in disarray all over the world. The problems that they cannot solve. Yet when Jesus comes to claim his kingdom, he's going to set everything right. It's his right by whom he's going to reign here, because it is his right to reign. And he's going to reign in righteousness. And there's going to be peace on this earth. And everything will be as according to God's desires. Well, I have that hope before me. I trust that each one here has that hope before them. And anyway, this queen, the Queen of Sheba, she'd heard about Solomon. She'd heard about his glory. And so she came up to see him and she brought all these gifts to him. And just what she says, I'd heard. There's a true report that I heard in mine own land of thine affairs and of thy wisdom. And I gave no credit to the words until I came and mine eyes have seen. And behold, the half was not told me. Well, I've told you very little in the preaching tonight. She could say the half was not told me. There's so much more that she found when she came to Solomon and saw his kingdom. It's a lovely picture to us of Christ in his kingdom and in his reigning. And think of that. It's what it says there. The half was not told me in wisdom and prosperity. Everything. The happy were his men. It's a wonderful thing to be at peace and happy. You know, and be happy with being a believer in Jesus. Have a real deep joy in our hearts. Not the artificial joys of this world, but the deep joy of the knowledge of knowing Jesus as our Saviour. She says, the half had not been told me. Well, there's much for you as a believer in Jesus to go in for. I trust you are a Christian, a true Christian, not just professing to be a Christian, but a true one who knows Jesus personally as his Saviour and Lord. There's much to go in for. Read the scriptures and find out the greatness of Christ, how the Old Testament teaches us so much about the greatness of the Lord Jesus and the new. It's there open to you. I would exhort you and encourage you to go in for these things. But above all, make sure you know Jesus as your own personal Saviour. How important it is. And may it be your portion for his name's sake.